morning to all of you who are here. I'm glad to see y'all. Glad y'all came. Hope y'all enjoyed yourself on this Super Sunday. And yesterday, I was talking to some people, and I told them they was going to have to give me my hour. I told them I'd take after my pawpaw, so they're going to have to give me all my time this morning. And only one of them response was of the Lord. All the other them was in the natural. But my mama said, baby, if you need your hour, take your hour. She said, but if you up there, you better be saying something. You want to talk an hour. You better be saying something. But I was just messing with them. I don't plan to be long. And trust me, I tried to add stuff to it and make it longer, but God said no, so I'm going to stick to what he gave me. And when I was preparing to be up here, I was like, Lord, I need you to confirm that this is what I'm supposed to talk about, because I don't need to be up here talking about what I want to talk about. I need to know that this is what you want me to say, so I need you to make it clear that this is what I'm supposed to do. And then Friday morning, on the prayer line, 515 prayer line, at the end, they was talking about what my message is on, so that confirmed to me that that's what I'm supposed to preach about today. So I hope that y'all might have to bear with me, because I got a few scriptures, but I hope I get the point across. So I'm going to pray, and then we can get on into it. Lord, I thank you for today, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to be up here. You chose me to be able to deliver this message today. I thank you, Father God, that as we hear this message, Father, that our hearts and minds are open and ready to receive, Father, and that your word is encouragement and enlightenment to us in our life, Father. I thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you're doing here, not only in our lives, but in this ministry, Father. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, what we're going to talk about today is believing. So the title of my message is, it's a question. And I hope by the end of this, y'all have y'all answer. The question is, what do you believe? So the simple act of believing is an act. You learned that with David Dixon. Faith is an act. The act of believing is important to who we are as Christians. Believing is how we even came into the kingdom of God. Let's look at John 3:16. John 3:16 is the most known scripture in the Bible. Everybody can quote it. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then Romans 10:9-10. This is the scripture that we tell people and share with people when they come to Christ, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Believing is how we even got into the kingdom of God. We had to believe who Jesus was, what he did for us, and that we're saved through him. As Christians, we even call ourselves believers. So believing is what we do. Believing is who we are. It makes up our life as a Christian. Believing is how we even operate in the kingdom of God. Believing is an important step to receiving from God. Believing is how we get things from the spiritual realm to the natural. Matthew 21:21. I told y'all I got a few scriptures, so you got to bear with me. But Matthew 21:21, Jesus answered them, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you tell this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, it will be done. Verse 22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So believing is how we receive from God. And see, we serve a free will God. So God gives you the choice to believe or to do the opposite of that, which is doubt and unbelief. You have that choice. You get to choose each and every day of your life to believe or to not believe. And the opposite of believing is unbelief. And unbelief is detrimental to who we are. I don't think we understand how unbelief will cripple our faith walk. Unbelief chokes our faith. Unbelief limits, if not stops, God from moving in your life. But you have that choice to either be in belief or be in unbelief. Matthew 13, we're going to start at verse 54. And coming to his own country, this is talking about Jesus, coming to his own country, Nazareth, he taught in their synagogues so that they were amazed with bewildered wonder, and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? And skip down to verse 57. And they took offense at him, they were repelled and hindered from acknowledging his authority and caused to stumble. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own house. And he did not do many works there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in the divine mission of Jesus. Jesus did not do many works. He didn't say he couldn't do many works, but he didn't because of their unbelief. That one simple thing stopped them from seeing the powers and wonders that Jesus could have done. Unbelief is detrimental to who we are as Christians. In Scripture, the Bible makes it plain sometimes. Now, sometimes the Bible, you know, it get real deep. You got to search in your spirit to figure out what it's talking about. But sometimes it's plain. James chapter 1, verse 6. James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask, talking about us, let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like a surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. The person who doubts should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Simple, plain as day. Verse 8, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. If you can go back and forth. See, sometimes we'll believe, we'll take this word and we'll believe it, and then situations get hard and life gets harder, and then it seems to last a long time, and then we'll get over into unbelief. Well, I guess it might not happen. I guess this didn't what God want for me. See, it says being double-minded and unstable in all your ways. You're unstable when you go in between belief and unbelief. As Christians, we have to be in belief and stay in belief. So believing is important. Unbelief is detrimental. But what's even more important than believing is what you believe. What you believe either allows God to move in your life or it stops God from moving your life. So now, how do we know what to believe? Now, you don't have to put this up, but John 10:35 says that Scripture cannot be broken. The Word of God cannot be broken. Isaiah 55 and 11. Now, you put this one up. So my word that comes from my mouth, this is God talking, will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I sent it to do. God's word, what he says, will come to pass. And God says nothing that's bad. It says it right there that it will prosper. It will prosper. So we have to believe the word. We have to believe Scripture because Scripture cannot be broken. God's word cannot be broken. And what he says will come to pass. That's how we know what to believe. God's word is the absolute truth. Absolute truth. But sometimes, if we're being honest, we got to be honest with ourselves, believing the lies of the enemy is a little easier sometimes. It's a little easier because it's easy to believe that you'll have to deal with that sickness or that pain for the rest of your life when every time you go to the doctor's office, he try to give you a bad report. It's easy to believe that you might not ever be a millionaire or that you might not, or that you'll have to live in poverty for the rest of your life when every time you check your bank account, it only got three digits in it, two digits in it sometime. It's easy to believe those things when you're going based off what you see. That's why the Bible tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. We have to believe what God's word says rather than what the situation says to us. But we have to make that choice to believe what God's word says. And see, sometimes I think we fail to realize that the first step to changing our situation for the better, getting us out of that hole or that pit we in, is believing the right thing. Believing the right thing is the first step to changing the narrative of our life. And in order to believe the right thing, we have to know the right thing. In order to believe God's word, we got to know what God's word says. This is why we have to read the Bible daily. Reading the Bible daily is important to who we are, so we know what to read. Pick a scripture. Read one scripture a day if that's where you got to start. Pick a scripture, memorize it. If you think about it, just say it to yourself throughout the day because we got to get God's word in our heart so we know what to believe when situations don't go our way. And this is also where prayer comes in. And see, prayer is a two-way communication. I put myself in that category too, but a lot of us, We say our nightly prayers. We say our prayers and we go to sleep. But see, we got to open that two-way form of communication. When we pray, let God speak back to us. We get quiet and let him speak back to us. So let him speak first, and then you go. But we got to open the line of communication where God can tell us some things. Because the word has a lot of good information in it, but it's some things that God wants to say to you directly. And so we need to have prayer so that he can speak to us. So we have to know the word so we know what to believe. We have to know what God is saying to us so we know what to believe. And then we have to make the conscious decision that that's what I'm going to believe. Above all else, I'm going to believe what God says and what God's word says. So let's look at the story of Jairus real quick. The story of Jairus, Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 22. One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, "My little daughter is dying. Come and lay hands on her so that she can get well and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following and pressing against him. So Jairus believed that Jesus could heal his daughter. So he went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, come with me." And Jesus went. And then we skip down to verse 35. While he was still speaking, people came from the synagogue's leaders. So people came from Jairus' house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother this teacher? Why bother the teacher anymore?" When Jesus overheard what was said, he told the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid, only believe." See, Jesus just gave us the key right there. The key to situations going wrong in our life, the key to getting over that is don't be afraid. Don't worry about what all these other people are saying. Don't worry about what you're going through, what the situation looks like. He said, only believe. Verse 37. He did not let anyone accompany him except Peter, James, and John, James's brother. They came to the leader's house and saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? This child is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, but he put them all outside. He took the child's father, mother, and those who were with him and entered the place where the child was. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk. She was 12 years old. At this, they were utterly astonished. So Jairus believed that Jesus could heal his daughter, and the result was Jairus' daughter got healed. When we believe God, we get God results. But see, Jairus, he had the opportunity to get over into that unbelief. In verse 35, when they met him at the door with unbelief. They said, "Your daughter already dead. Why are you bothering this man?" And he could have chose right then, "But Jesus, you can go back where you came from because my daughter already gone." He could have got into unbelief, but he did what Jesus said. He only believed. And then he had another opportunity to get in unbelief. Verse 39, he went in and said to them, "Why are you making a commotion? Weeping. The child is not dead, but asleep." In verse 40, they laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus. They didn't believe that Jesus had the power or the authority to heal this girl or restore this girl. Jairus could have went with them and got in that unbelief. But you see what happened to them people that laughed? In the very next part, it said, but he put them all outside. Jesus put them out. Jesus separated unbelief from the situation. Jesus took the unbelievers and put them outside. So those people who laughed at Jesus, those people who stopped him at the door, they got put outside and they missed out on the miracle that was getting ready to take place. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to miss out on miracles because I don't believe. I don't want to miss out on the signs and wonders that God has for us just because I don't believe. So we have to choose to believe like Jairus. Jairus believed, and he got what he believed for. So we have to make the conscious decision each and every day that, God, I believe. God, I believe what your word says, and I believe what you say about me. And I'll share this real quick. About last year, summertime last year, I don't know, I was still in school, and I was feeling sick. I was feeling terrible. My body was hurting, and I was going through it. But I went to class anyway because I couldn't miss class, and I was coming home from class, and I was on the phone with somebody in the car. And who I was on the phone with, they knew what I was going with and how I was feeling. And they was like, "Jaleel, you need to take a COVID test when you get home." And as soon as they said it, fear set in. It, like, in the pit of my belly, I just was afraid that I had COVID. Because I was like, I got an exam tomorrow. I don't need to miss it. I can't miss school. And I was like, well, even if I do got COVID, I guess I could still go. Ain't nobody else going to know. But then I was like, no, I don't need to get nobody else sick. But I was just afraid that I had COVID. And I tried to shake that thing. And then I was like, the Bible says that God did not give me the spirit of fear. So what I did was I started confessing. God, I'm healed. God, I'm healed. For 5 minutes straight, driving down the road, I said, God, I'm healed. God, I don't have COVID. And I just kept saying that. And then the Holy Spirit on the inside of me said, God already know you healed. I don't know why you're telling him. He already know you healed. He the one who healed you. So I said, okay. I sat there for a minute. And I said, okay, devil, I'm healed. You hear me, devil? I did like my papa, Satan, I'm healed. I told him over and over and over. I got loud with him because I needed him to know that I was healed. And Holy Spirit said, the devil know you healed too. The devil was there when Jesus rose again. The devil was there when Jesus rose with healing power in his hands. He knows you healed. So I said that. I'm like, I was literally dumbfounded. I was like, I don't know. I said, who left in the equation? God, devil. And then I was like, it's me. So I don't advise this, but this is what I did. I let my visor down. I opened that mirror for 10 minutes straight, driving down the road. I pointed at myself, and I said, Jaleah, you are healed. Jaleah, you don't have COVID. Jaleah, you are healed. Jesus healed you. And I, for 10 minutes straight, no lie, I told myself that I was healed in that mirror. And then that fear rose up off me. So I closed that visor and went back to driving. But then it tried to creep back in. So I let that mirror right back down, opened the mirror right back up. Jaleah, you are healed. You are healed. And I said it to myself another 5 minutes until that fear left. Got home. I was excited to take that COVID test because I knew it was coming back negative. I believed that I was healed, and it came back negative. But it was because I had to believe. I had to know. So that's why my question to you today is, what do you believe? Because you have to believe, and you have to know what God's word says. Believing God's word, it'll change your life for the better. Believing God's word will change how you view situations. Believing God's word will change your perspective on things. Believing God's word will change how you respond to situations that come in your life. It'll change how you talk. It'll change how you act. It'll change how you view other people. We have to believe God's word. It helps us to stand strong and stand firm when life don't go our way, when life don't go as we expect it to go. We have to believe God's word above all else. And when we have a solid foundation of believing God's word, the plans of the enemies, the problems, the sufferings, the hardships, the inconveniences that we go through, those things will be like a rock in the road. How many of us, when we drive down the road, we see a rock and we stop? We hit the brakes hard as we can and we stop. And we look to our passenger, or we think in our head, oh my gosh, what am I going to do about this rock in my way? This rock is blocking my path to get through. How many of us do that? None of us. Why? Because 10 times out of 10, we don't even notice the rock. When we believe God's word, we don't even notice the problems the devil try to throw our way. When we believe God's word, we'll drive right over them because they're not anything to us, because we have a solid foundation of, I believe God's word no matter what comes my way. I believe God's word no matter what the situation says to me. They'll be like rocks in the road. This property that y'all drove up on today got thousands of rocks. Life has thousands of problems, thousands of inconveniences. But if we believe God's word, we'll drive right over them. The devil will be looking like, where they going? I done threw this in their way, and they just kept on going. We got to believe God's word above all else. So that's why my question to you today is, what do you believe? I hope after today's message, I told y'all it was short. I told y'all today's message that you choose to believe God's word. I hope that y'all make a firm declaration that, God, I believe your word. No matter what I'm going through, God, I believe your word. No matter how long I'm going through it, God, I believe your word. No matter how bad my body feels, God, I believe your word. God, I believe your word. The devil can't shake me off my blessing because I believe God's word. The devil can't shake me off the destiny that God has for me because I believe God's word. He can't stop me because I believe God's word. So I hope that that's y'all answer to the question, what do you believe? I hope it's, I believe God's word.